Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. We are presented by Yingling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. Rhino down there in Studio X. He's pulling the bells and whistles. You know, he's making sure everything is as good as it can be with him when I'm in charge. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening, and what an evening it is. One of the biggest weekends for Mississippi State in quite some time, and there's just no getting around that fact as the Bulldogs are set to take on the Tennessee Volunteers Saturday at Davis-Wade Stadium, 3:15 kickoff, and oh, buddy, is that going to be a big game day. I hope you're enjoying game days with Yingling Flight, America's newest light beer from America's oldest brewery, crisp, clean, and brewed for today's beer drinker. Perfect for a Mississippi State game day. Only 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. Brewed for those that never settle. Enjoy responsibly. Yingling Flight, Yingling Brewing Company, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. I've never been to Pottsville. I'm sure it's a lovely town. I've been to Starkville, and that's where Tennessee is going to be this weekend. And what I will just go ahead and let you know is going to be as bonkers of an atmosphere as we've had here in Starkville in quite some time. You know, and that's just the way that it's going to be. I announced her on Wednesday. It was a hard sellout. You know, obviously some tickets are still available on the secondary market, but you cannot buy a ticket from Mississippi State. They are expecting 60 to 62,000 plus in the stadium on Saturday. As part of this massive day of college football that Mississippi State is right in the middle of, because the Bulldogs have done what they had to do to get to this point. They have finished the non-conference slate undefeated, and they are ready to move forward into SEC play. This is a very tough task. This is a very good Tennessee team. Maybe one of the biggest winners of the offseason was Tennessee, because they stood up for themselves against a player. And I say this as a guy, as you know, that is very much in pro-player movement. I'm pro-NIL. But I felt like what Nico – I can never pronounce his name, and I'm glad I really don't have to anymore. What he did, I didn't agree with it. And Tennessee basically told him, you know, they definitely rolled the dice. For like, hey, we were a playoff team last year, and this guy's coming back, and he should get better. And Josh Heupel has a reputation for getting quarterbacks better. And you're putting a potentially good season at jeopardy by making this move. And Tennessee has come out clean on the other side, and they look like champs, and they look like they've sent a message. And so Josh Heupel has got to be – his Q rating with his fan base has got to be as high as ever. Same with Jeff Lebby, though. Lebby, as popular as he's been since the day he was hired at Mississippi State, has come in, has got this team going in the right direction. And one thing I really do like about Jeff Lebby, one thing I really, you know, respect about him is he is the most even-keeled guy I think I've ever met in the coaching industry. You know, everybody else, I've seen them get really mad. I have not seen – look, if Lebby's had a sideline explosion, I haven't seen it. When we come into the press conferences, man, he answers our questions, even questions I know he doesn't want to answer. I asked him this week about players redshirting. You know, nowadays in college football, week four comes and goes. You get players who decide, hey, I'm too far down the depth chart. I'm going to redshirt, and I'll hit the portal at the end. That's not a coach any question. That's not a question any coach wants to answer. And he could have very just been like, you know what, I'm not going to answer that, and you don't need to ask that, blah, blah, blah. Couldn't have been more professional. Like, ah, you know, we keep that internal. And yeah, fine. So I think that helps this team, Mississippi State. I think it helps Mississippi State because it will be really easy when we take into this massive crowd that's going to be in Starkville for his players to be too high. I think Lebby does a fantastic job of keeping his guys focused, keeping them balanced. Every coach tells you the whole one game at a time thing, but man, Jeff Lebby really does live it, I think. And so Mississippi State has gone one game at a time to get to this point. I asked Lebby about this at Media Days. I said, you know, there's this scenario. You could win your first four non-conference games, and then you got this massive game with Tennessee. He wasn't having any of that back in July. He'll have all of it now, though. I will say this. Look, whether you want to hear this or not, I'm going to pass this along because it was passed along to me. Obviously, during the Arizona State game, the cowbell's not an issue. It's a non-conference game. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to tell you from a place of friendship, guys. All right, this is not me saying something because I want to. I'm not trying to fear-monger. I'm certainly not a poor old. The SEC's watching the cowbells. All right, they're watching. So are you a cowbell ringer? Are you a person who enjoys cowbell ringing like I am? Let's ring responsibly. All right. Ball on the center's got the ball in his hand. Stop it. Just cut it out. You're being watched. You don't want to have to go through this again. All right. Don't want to go through the wilderness of the cowbells again. So I'm just trying to tell you, believe me, don't believe me. Your choice. But I'm telling the truth. I'm just gonna leave it at that. Let's get back to football. Can State win this game? They absolutely can. What are they going to need? They're going to need Blake Chapin to be at his absolute best. And I talk about this a little bit on the podcast. I hate putting this much pressure on Blake Chapin. I really, truly do. But honestly, when you sign up to be a quarterback in the SEC, this is what you sign up for. It's a big game in your home. Your team's the underdog. You've got to deliver. And it's not just Chapin. He needs his offensive line to protect. He needs his receivers to get open. He may need to catch the ball when he throws it to him. I understand that piece of it. I'm going to make the assumption the receivers will get open. I'm going to make the assumption the offensive line will protect. Chapin has to deliver. This has to be his best game as a Bulldog. You got to limit your negative plays. There are going to be some. But you got to take advantage of your big plays. State has been a great big play offense this year. And I really think that right now, you know, State is almost in a situation where they're going to move the chains more through explosive plays than they are through just, you know, grinding it out on the ground, which I Jeff Lebby would be more than happy to do. He loves to run the football. Chapin has to be the best quarterback on the field. He has to beat Joey Aguilar on Saturday for Mississippi State to win. When we look at the tail of the tape for the quarterbacks, Chapin has to have higher completion percentage, more yards, more touchdowns, fewer interceptions. And if he does those things, I'm telling you right now, Mississippi State can win this football game. If he doesn't, they can't. Simple as that. State's defense, while much improved, while better than I thought it was going to be, is not a defense that can just go out there and win you a football game. It's not the 2018 squad. It's not the 1999 squad that can just go out there and affect the game in that way. They are a defense that's good enough to keep you in it if your offense is moving, which is really all you need. State's offense has got to be a little bit better than it's been in these first few weeks. You know, 34 points against Southern Mississippi. Okay. 24 points against Arizona State. Okay. 38 points against Northern Illinois. Okay. Got to be a little bit better. Not a whole lot better. I'm not asking to be the best offense in the country today, on Saturday. I'm just saying you got to be a little bit better. If I can be a little bit better on offense and be where I've been on defense in this game, State can win. What's my philosophy, right, for these games is always the same. It's better quarterback, better coach, home field advantage. Better quarterback, it's dicey. I could go either way. I'd probably give a slight edge to Aguilar, but it's not a massive discrepancy. Coach, I think Heupel's a better coach. He's got the proven track record. He's been to the college football playoff. He's just been better. There's no getting around that fact. Home field advantage, big plus for Mississippi State. And honestly, that might be State's most important weapon here is the crowd. The crowd is going to make a big difference. It made a big difference against Arizona State, and this is going to be 10,000 to 12,000 more people. So no question in my mind State can win this football game. It's a three-outcome game, though. State blowing Tennessee out would shock me. That would be very surprising. But State winning would not. Would not surprise me. Does not surprise me if it happens. So we got a lot more to talk about when it comes to this game in particular. I want to talk some more about Chapin. I want to talk some more about what I expect to see defensively from Mississippi State. And I want to talk about what I think is, if you listen to Thunder and Lightning, the podcast a lot, you know about the X factor. My X factor for this one, I think we need to talk a little deeper about than just this one game. So we will do that when we come back. Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. 46 years of great vehicles and award-winning service over there on South Gloucester Street. If you are looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, go see my friends at Dossett Big Four. I went to see them, and guess what? My wife loves that car, and you will too. So if you're looking for your next vehicle, go online, DossettBig4.com, check out the selection, or just go by their convenient location on 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. Dossett Big Four, your family-owned destination for 46 years of great vehicles and award-winning service. When we come back, more Mississippi State, Tennessee. And then later in the show, we got to talk about the SEC schedule. It's out. We know who State's playing for the next 4 years on the new 9-game schedule. Some interesting matchups, some interesting thought processes, and maybe a look ahead to what could be the big year for Mississippi State. We will do all of that when we come back on this. This is a jam-packed edition of Thunder and Lightning. We don't have a lot of those, but we're going to have one today. Back in just a minute. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Be sure to tune in.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi, presented by Yuengling Flight, brought to you by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. Again, if you are looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, there's just no better spot than my friends at Dossett Big Four. Three generations of proudly serving their community, building a legacy of trust and exceptional customer service. When it comes to keeping your vehicle running smoothly, you can count on Dossett Big Four's award-winning service departments. They're certified technicians in both the Honda and General Motors service centers are dedicated to providing the best care for your car. Are you looking for a new car? Tupelo, Mississippi is the place to go. 628 South Gloucester Street, or visit them online. DossettBig4.com. Blake Chapin has been good this year. I don't know why Chapin takes so much heat sometimes. I really don't. I feel like this has been like an ongoing thing. Will Rogers took a lot of heat. Some of it was deserved, some of it was not. Nick Fitzgerald took a lot of heat. Some of it was deserved, some of it was not. But I feel like it's been overkill with everybody since Dak. Mississippi State fans are kind of like, they're waiting for the next Dak. There may never be another Dak. May never be. I like Kamario Taylor, and we're going to talk more about him in just a minute. I think he's got a mile-high ceiling. Dak Prescott was a two-time first-team All-SEC quarterback, and it's now the starting quarterback, one of the highest paid players in the NFL. He's the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. It's entirely possible State will never have a player like that ever again. But I feel like State fans just they want to hold everybody to that same model, that same standard. Blake Chapin's been perfectly fine. He is not the reason State has struggled in these games. I feel like State's running game has been an issue more than Chapin. Now, Chapin, I'll tell you, he talked about it on Monday at the press conference. He said, I told them coming off the field, I didn't play good today. And he's right. He didn't play great. There's no question about that. Did not play his best game. Missed some opportunities. Had some chances for big plays that were there, and he missed them. But Blake Chapin has been perfectly acceptable in the way he's played the first four games of this college football season. The issue here is now he's got to be better than that. He's got to be better than acceptable. He's got to be better than good. He's got to be at his best on Saturday. When you think about State, and let's think about some of like their upset wins through the years, right? You know, you go back to the 2014 season with those games with LSU and A&M and Auburn. Dak Prescott played at an unbelievably high level in those games. When Mississippi State beat LSU in 2017 in Starkville, Nick Fitzgerald played at an unbelievably high level there in that game. Threw for two and ran for two in that game, something like that. When you think about beating LSU in 2020, KJ Costello set an SEC passing record in that game. Unbelievably high level in that game. You think about Will Rogers, coming back to beat Auburn in 2021. Played an unbelievable game that day when they beat Texas A&M and Arkansas that year. the next year, 2022, played at an unbelievably high level in those games. And those were games where I think State was probably favored against Arkansas, but I don't know that they were against A&M. Upsets happen to this is the standard script for an upset, right? Especially when you're talking about a home underdog. You got to score early to keep your crowd into it. That's what happened against Arizona State, right? State goes up 17-0. The place is a madhouse. You got to have that. You got to be in the game at the end of the first quarter. End of the first quarter, it's 14-0 Tennessee. It's tough to get those people back into the stadium, get those people back into the action. That's the first thing. You need a big play early in the game. You need a play where it gets the crowd on its feet and tries to keep them there. It can be a sack, it can be an interception, or it can be a long touchdown. But you need something like that. You need outstanding quarterback play, especially, again, when you don't have a truly elite defense. You know, Alabama 2011, 2012, they could get away with subpar quarterback play because they weren't going to give up any points. Nowadays, that's different. And this Mississippi State defense is not those defenses. Like, again, State's defense is plenty capable. If State can keep this game in the high 20s, that's a good enough defensive performance to win. They need Chapin to be at his best today. They need a 300-yard passing game from him. They need that touchdown to be 3-1 or 3-0, 4-0, even better. They need Blake Chapin. They need people walking away saying, well, Chapin might be SEC Offensive Player of the Week this week. That's the kind of performance they're going to have. And if that's too much pressure to put on one player, I'm sorry. You're a quarterback in the Southeastern Conference. You're not allowed to shirk that off. You're not allowed to say, well, you know, I did my best. Your best may not be good enough today. You got to be better than best. This is going to be a legacy defining game for Blake Chapin today. You know, Lebby had a legacy defining game a couple weeks ago, and he came out on the other side. Chapin, it's Chapin's turn. I like Chapin. I think you can see the tools. I get why he holds the ball so long, because he's got receivers who can get open deep, and he wants to give them an opportunity, and he's got the arm to get them the ball deep. So it's going to be on the offensive line to protect. And Lebby talked about that early in his press conference. He said, you know, this is a Tennessee defensive line. They're very good. Second in the conference in sacks. 15 sacks in 4 games. But they're a little weak in the secondary. Injuries have kind of hurt that unit. And so there, those big play opportunities are there for Mississippi State. There's no question about that. But Chapin has to deliver when those moments come. When he gets the protection and he gets his guy open down the field, got to hit him. Had a couple of chances last week to hit some big plays and missed. All ended up hitting a couple, but could have had a lot more. So Chapin is a huge key. I'll tell you another key, and it's the same position. It's time to have the Kamario Taylor conversation. Redshirting this guy is just not going to happen. I just don't think you can go forward like that. I'll be honest with you. I think in a couple of years, redshirting might not even exist. The NCAA is just going to say, 5 years for everybody. Don't worry about redshirting. And that's fine. Third and less than two is Kamario Taylor time. All right? We're going to go old school. Dan Mullen will love to see it. We're going to go quarterback power, and we're going to get that first down with Kamario Taylor. That is the path forward with Taylor. Run it till they stop it. And it's going to be tough to stop a man that big and strong and powerful on these third and short situations. And I'll be honest with you, running enough times, eventually you're going to say, okay, now it's time to a little trickery. We're going to throw it here. It's going to be wide open. Don't know if that's today with the pass, but I do know that if it's third and two, I'm bringing them on the field. And if you want to run two QBs out there, you want to, you know, just kind of run some of what you did a week ago against Alcorn with that crazy formation, that's fine. But by and large, third and two, I'm directly snapping it to Kamario Taylor, and I'm telling him, get the first down. And I think he's going to do it 9 times out of 10. And if he doesn't get it and it's fourth and short, I may just go, I'm going to run it again. Riverside it. Something. But we're putting Kamario Taylor in a position starting in this game where he's contributing to Mississippi State. If he can help you win one game, it's worth playing it. Because again, I don't know that redshirting is going to be a thing in the future. So act as if. Pretend it, you know, make it work. I think for sure Mississippi State needs Kamario Taylor. He's my X factor. You know, every week I do on the podcast, I do offensive playmaker, defensive playmaker, and an X factor. Kamario Taylor is my X factor in this one. He needs to be a part of the offensive game plan. Third and short, fourth and short is Kamario Taylor time. I like Fluff Bothwell. I like Devon Booth. I like Xavier Gayton. I'm not handing it off. I'm going with Kamario Taylor in those situations. And so if I can get that from Shapen, and if I can get Taylor on the field to help move the chains when need be, this is an offense when it's humming. And remember last year, State had a lot of success running the football against Tennessee. If they can duplicate that, this is the point in the season last year, week five, where State's running game finally started figuring some things out. If they can do that again today. If I can get the running game to complement a little bit more, Bothwell over 100 yards last week. Can he do that again? Can I get Devon Booth going? Xavier Gayton looks like he's starting to move up the depth chart. Can I get him going? Got a real opportunity here in Starkville today. When we come back, we're going to talk about the SEC, the new schedule. Lot of interesting matchups in the near future. 4 years worth of SEC matchups. We know them now. We'll do that when we come back. If you're going to enjoy game day this weekend, enjoy it with a Yuengling flight. Flight by Yuengling is the perfect light beer on those Mississippi game days. If you're going to be in the Junction or if you're just at home watching college football, enjoy a Yuengling light. Light beer with full flavor, 95 calories, 2.6 carbs. It means you can have an extra rib, extra wing, or just an extra Yuengling flight. The next generation of light beers, brewed for those who never settle. Enjoy responsibly. Flight by Yuengling. When we come back, the SEC has let us know who's coming to Starkville and where Mississippi State's going to be going 2026, 2027, 28, 29. And, of course, we know who the permanent opponents are as well. We'll take a look around the SEC at some of the interesting matchups. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Back in just a minute.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. We are presented by Yuengling Flight, brought to you by Dossett Big Four. Yuengling Flight, the perfect beer for a Mississippi game day. Crisp, clean, cold, refreshing, brewed for those that never settle. Enjoy responsibly. Flight by Yuengling, the perfect light beer to have in hand on a Mississippi game day. The next generation of light beer. The SEC is going to 9 games, conference schedules. And on Tuesday night, they made official. There was a leak on Monday. Somebody sprung a leak and got the permanent opponents out. But everything official now. So let's look at it for Mississippi State's perspective. They're annual opponents. They're not permanent opponents, by the way. They're annual opponents. But the same way, it's not a two-minute warning. It's a two-minute timeout. We got to change that verbiage. I don't know why. They have said that they are going to analyze this after the four-year period, and they may make some changes. One thing that's not going to change is Mississippi State's going to play Ole Miss. Just slot it in forever. Forever. Your other two opponents, it's a kind of a nice balance. It's Alabama and Vanderbilt. I'll be honest with you, kind of surprised State got Vanderbilt. Alabama, I didn't think State would get them because I thought the networks would say, why do we want Mississippi State versus Alabama every year? We'd rather have Alabama versus LSU or Alabama versus Georgia or Alabama versus Texas every year. Alabama whined and complained. They got their way, as is they are wont to do in the Southeastern Conference. And so they're on Mississippi State's schedule for the next 4 years along with Vanderbilt. Now, 9-game schedule means that it's unbalanced. You're going to have 1 year with 5 home games, 1 year with 4 home conference games. Richard Cross kind of dove into this on the Sports on Mississippi on Monday. He said the SEC is going to try to take into account some non-conference games that have already been scheduled, and in doing so, they're going to, you know, the years where you have a non-conference game that's on the road, they're going to try to set it up where you have your five conference games. Mississippi State in 2026 has a non-conference game on the road. That's at Minnesota. And, of course, the SEC has kept the premise that you have to play a non-SEC Power 4 team. So that game is going to stay on the schedule. State currently has three other games on the schedule: ULM, Troy, and Tennessee Tech. One of those has to go. I would expect an announcement from that soon at some point, but we shall see. So who does State play in the conference in 2026? Obviously, they play Alabama. That game will be in Starkville, as will the game with Vanderbilt. The Egg Bowl, you know the Egg Bowl's at home this year, so this next year it will be in Oxford. State has the three other games at home are Auburn, Missouri, and Oklahoma. So the first contest between Mississippi State and Oklahoma will be contested in Starkville. Auburn back on the schedule. LSU back on the schedule. State will go to Tiger Stadium next year, along with a road trip to South Carolina. And Texas will remain on the schedule for next season. Now, one thing the SEC is doing is they're not just flipping the schedules the way they have these first 2 years with Texas and Oklahoma in. Your non-annual opponents completely flip the next year. And then they come back into play the year after that. So, 2027, State at Alabama, at Vanderbilt, Ole Miss in Starkville. They'll be home against Arkansas, Florida, Texas A&M, and on the road against Georgia, Kentucky, and Tennessee. And then it just flips back. You're back at home with Alabama. Then you have LSU, Carolina, Texas, Vanderbilt. And you're at Auburn, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Ole Miss. So a mirror. So 2026 and 2028 mirror each other. And then 2027 and 2029, you can figure it out from there. Looking at 2028, State has five conference games, and they have a game scheduled at Memphis. That could be a year where State plays. That Memphis series might go. I'll be honest with you. I'm looking at State. State has currently non-conference games against non-power schools. Let's look at those. They're at Troy, 2027. At Memphis, 2028. At Southern Miss, 2030. At Washington State, 2031. That Washington State game was made when they were still in the Pac-12. No longer counts as a power game. So you either get rid of it or you got to find another game. I don't know. And then they're at Tulane in 2032. I don't know if those games are going to make it, to be totally honest with you. I just don't know. In this new, you know, nine games on the conference schedule, I don't know if those games are going to continue to go on. And in some cases, you know, I don't mind. I like playing at Southern Mississippi. I don't mind keeping that going. At Tulane is a fun game for Mississippi State fans. At Washington State, I mean, they signed that when Leach was still with us. And they thought it might be, you know, if he could make it to that, that'd been a cool thing. Or even if he was retired at that point, it would have been something. But I don't know if that one's going to stay. Somebody on the C Spire text line said that there were, you know, and then I don't know that person. I mean, they could be just making that up, but they said that there were all these, every contract that the SEC schools sign with a non-conference game says, hey, in the event the conference goes to non-conference games, we can get out of this, you know, with no penalty. I don't know if that's true or not. We're going to find out, I guess, because otherwise you're going to have some games getting bought out, because a lot of schools already have four non-conference games. State has them for 2026, but when you look around at some of the other schools, I know like Alabama in particular. Let me double check this. Alabama has four non-conference games scheduled for. They have one, two, three. They already have four for 2026 and just going forward. And Alabama has some big non-conference games. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. I think the SEC did about as good a job as they could with the rivalries. You know, they wanted to keep most of your historic rivalries. Obviously, they wanted to keep your in-state rivalries. So Tennessee is still playing Vanderbilt. Auburn's still playing Alabama. Texas and Texas A&M is still playing each other. That's it for instance. And then, of course, you have the Egg Bowl. And then your historic rivalries, Alabama, Tennessee still happening. Auburn, Georgia still happening. Texas, Oklahoma still happening. you had some that you lost. Like, you lose Arkansas, Ole Miss, and that's a great rivalry, and I hate to see it, you know. But at the same time, it's not what it was a few years ago. We've talked about this before. This trip for Tennessee to Starkville this weekend, that's their first trip since 2012. 13 years. State will go to Florida in a few weeks. First trip since 2010. You're not going to have that anymore. So, yeah, I like Ole Miss Arkansas, but at least it's happening every 2 years now. If you are a freshman, somebody who signs in 2026, they're a true freshman in 2026, you will go to every SEC stadium in your four-year career at Mississippi State. If you stay all 4 years, you will go to every stadium. That's what being in a conference is. Think about all the non-conference games State has played since they were last at Florida. They've been to Hattiesburg twice. They've been to Memphis in that time frame twice. They've been to Troy. They've been to South Alabama. They've been to all these different places, and they haven't played somebody in their own conference in their stadium on the road in 15 years. That's not in a, you're not in the same conference at that point. This is a big upgrade, in my opinion. They could have done it with eight games, and honestly, I see why they did it, because they're trying to keep the playoff from just getting out of control. They could have done this with eight games, which would have, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's probably a little better for Mississippi State, because now to have an eight-win season, you got to win five SEC games. State's only done that once in the last 15 years, something like that. Since, you know, State was 6-2 in the West, or 6-2 in the SEC in 2014. I don't think they've had a five-win SEC win season since then, and they didn't have one prior to that with Mullen either. So it's tough. It's going to be, yeah. You know, you're in the SEC. You got to put your big boy pants on a little bit. You got to, you know, accept the fact that, you know, this is the way the game is played. The good news is for me is, like, I feel like Mississippi State's getting better. I look at next year's schedule. I mean, is there a single game? At Texas is probably the one I would say, okay, not going to win that one. But Alabama is not, this is not 2012. At LSU, State's been very competitive in that series the last 10 times they played each other. At South Carolina, that's tough, but that's certainly not unwinnable. OU coming to Starkville, your home games you feel good about. You got some real opportunities here on the schedule going forward. 2027 is going to be a year where you want to put some chips into the table, right? You know, you got four very winnable home games. You got to play Kentucky and Vanderbilt on the road. Those are winnable games as well. You got some opportunities there in 2027. Just go ahead and mark that down. All right, when we come back, I know we normally do predictions on Friday, but this is Thunder and Lightning Live, and it's only on Wednesday. So I got to tell you what I'm thinking about Mississippi State versus Tennessee. Dawson Big Four in Tupelo. If you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, please go see our good friends in Tupelo at Dawson Big Four, 628 South Gloucester Street. If you want to check out what their selection is online, you can do it at DossettBig4.com. Great cars, great service, great sales, great people. 46 years of serving their community at Dossett Big Four. We'll wrap it up when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Prediction time? What did I say? If State was 4-0, I would say they would be 5-0. Am I going to hold to that? Find out in just a minute. Back in just a minute here on Thunder and Lightning Live.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's wrap it up here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi, presented by Yingling Flight, brought to you by Dossett Big Four. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino down in Studio X. He's got the beep. We're backing it up. We're getting into the parking spot here. All right, let's finish it up here on a Wednesday evening. Mississippi State, Tennessee, this Saturday. Sellout crowd already announced. 60,000 plus in the stadium. White out. It's going to be a fun atmosphere. And something I've been talking about on Sports Talk and on Thunder and Lightning is the idea of fun. And not to get too deep with it, and certainly not to try to, you know, tell you that losing is fun. It isn't. And, you know, I think we can all agree from last year there was very little fun to be had in college football. But Mississippi State today, as we sit here today, is 4-0. And they're playing better. They're much improved. They're exciting. It's okay to have some fun, all right? And look, State could go out there on Saturday and Tennessee could push them around and win the game easily. And there won't be anything fun about that. I'm not trying to tell you that there will be, but I'm trying to tell you that let's have some good times in the time leading up to that. I don't say all that to try to like cushion the blow or anything, right? Mississippi State can absolutely win this football game. They're going to have a massive home field advantage. They're playing a team that has not played on the road, a quarterback that has never played in an environment like he's going to step into on Saturday, I think they're a confident team. They know they can hit those big plays. They know they've got some speed. They know that they're much better defensively. I think Jeff Lebby has done a good job of getting his team focused and ready to play each week. There's a lot working in Mississippi State's favor. What's working against them is really simple. Tennessee is more talented, top to bottom, basically almost every position. You know, quarterback I think Tennessee has a slight edge, but outside of that, I mean, they've got top-line talent. That's why they were in the college football playoff last year, and that's why they're ranked in the top 15 right now and are a favorite to go back to that playoff this year. Yeah, they had Georgia on the ropes and just couldn't not deliver the knockout blow. And it's not like Georgia is lacking for talent either. The script the State has to follow, we just talked about it, right? Big play early. Keep it close early. Have the lead if you're even better. And big-time quarterback play. They get those three things, they can walk off the field a winner, 5-0, into the top 25. And then if State can win this game, we can really change the conversation that we've been having about Mississippi State. Since they beat Arizona State, it's like, okay, this is a team that can go to a bowl. You can beat Tennessee at home. It becomes, well, how high is the ceiling? What can they do? Can they win 8? Can they win 9? You know, what game are you nervous about at that point? If you beat Tennessee, are you thinking you can beat Texas? Do you think you can go head to head with Georgia? That's the conversation we can have if Mississippi State beats Tennessee. If they lose to Tennessee, the conversation just becomes, hey, this is a much improved football team, and they just gotta win 6 games, go to a bowl, keep moving forward. Have another good portal class and continue to surround, you know, the future Kamario Taylor with talent. But what if they win? What if they win? If you told me to put money on this game, we're going to be completely open and honest here. If you told me to put money on this game, I would put it on Tennessee to cover. I absolutely would. You said, you know, Brian, you got to bet however much. Tennessee to cover would be my bet. But nobody's telling me to do that. So let's have some fun, right? If I'm wrong on this one, I'll just be wrong. I don't really care. Mississippi State 35, Tennessee 31. Bulldogs win. Bulldogs 5-0. I told you back in June and July, if State was 4-0 playing this game, I would predict them to be 5-0. I'm a man of my word. So let's go forward with that idea. Let's go forward with Mississippi State 35, Tennessee 31. As old Jack Burton likes to say, what the hell? I'm looking forward to being at Davis Wade Stadium. I was talking to my wife about this. I was like, I think I'm going to like get to my, you know, I park in the garage there right across from the hump. I'm like, I think I'm going to get to the garage at like 10:30, 11 o'clock and just got to walk down to the Cotton District and grab some lunch and watch some football. Because I think if I try to wait, like normally I would wait like maybe an hour and a half before the game. I don't think that's going to be a good idea on Saturday. So I would give you the same idea. Just get to campus early. And I'll see you there. Dawson Big Four in Tupelo. If you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, go see my friends at Dawson Big Four. And, of course, if you're tailgating in the Junction or if you're just watching the game at home, a Yingling Flight in Hand is the perfect beer for a Mississippi game day. Appreciate you guys tuning in, as always. Appreciate Rhino down there in Studio X making everything happen. Football is fun, guys. It's fun again in Starkville. Let's have fun this weekend. If you're coming to Starkville, be careful, be safe, wear white. Don't be that guy. Wear white. Do that. Talk to you again tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. We'll be live from Scruggs in Saltillo. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.